Moncrief on News Talk.
Despite the devastation of Gaza and the fragile peace deal there, there are other parts of the world where conditions are just as bad, arguably even worse. War still rages in Sudan, millions have been displaced, and most of those are starving. It is the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. Mark Townsend is Senior Global Development Reporter with The Guardian. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Just briefly to outline why there's a war there, it's ostensibly the RSF versus the government, but who is backing those respective sides?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it's a huge proxy war on the RSF side. You've got principally the Emiratis. On the military side, you've got the whole host of backers, Egypt, Iran, Russia to a degree. You've got some very major players. You've probably got maybe 15, 20 countries involved in total.
And why are the different sides backing different sides in this civil war? Like, what's in it for the Emiratis, for instance?
In a nutshell, gold. There's lots of gold in West Sudan. They can then pipeline it straight through to Dubai, etc. But it's got a very, very advanced sort of gold distribution and smelting operation. Sudan, it's Africa's third largest country, huge strategic value, foothold right in sort of almost the centre of the continent. So lots of reasons for the Emiratis.
Yeah. Okay. So, and on the other side is the motivation also gold?
No, not so much really. I mean, it's more you've got Port Sudan's on the Red Sea, incredibly valuable strategic location, and again you've got this, huge tract of land, below Egypt. It's just in terms of location, very important globally and in terms of the continent.
Yeah. Now, but this war has been going on since 2023. Would that be the case, or had it been going on before that, but maybe not as intensively?
Yeah. I mean, it's been simmering for a while, really. In many respects, from the genocide in Darfur, the west of the country, since maybe the early 2000s. But since April 23, kind of been a full scale civil war. With terrible consequences.
Yeah, and the humanitarian consequences of that, is it possible, or to what degree is it possible for NGOs to go in there and administer aid to people?
Yeah, it's really difficult. I mean, you've got checkpoints everywhere. There's no-fly zones right across the entire country. It can take one aid truck from Port Sudan on the coast to reach Darfur. It can take them maybe 7-10 days. There's no guarantee it'll ever arrive because it'd be looted on the way or in some cases targeted by drone strikes.
And is it, I mean, have there been allegations of genocide there as well?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I mean, it's a very potent case depending on who you ask. But yeah, I mean, the RSF is kind of Arab dominated, and the allegations of ethnic cleansing and genocide against the predominantly African ethnic tribes in Darfur I would say compelling.
Mm. Now, the population, I think, of Sudan's around the 40 million mark. Out of that number, how many people have been displaced?
12 plus, and another 24, double that, are basically classified officially as extremely hungry, starving, or facing famine.
So more than half the country is facing famine.
Well, certainly starving. Yeah.
Yeah. God, that's extraordinary. The respective sides in the war, are they doing anything to accommodate aid coming in?
Both of them use starvation as a weapon of war, and both of them use aid as kind of like a bargaining chip. So. They sometimes they open border crossings, sometimes they don't, but they're using humanitarian aid as if you like, a sort of a bargaining tool. So their motivations aren't entirely with the people, if you like.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because I was reading accounts of, some part of Sudan right now is under siege, and again, they're making sure no aid gets in there.
Yeah, I guess you're referring to Al-Fashir, yeah. I mean, it's been without aid for maybe 450 days, I think it is. I mean, it's catastrophic what's happening there. imagine Gaza, but times that by, you know, a tenfold, and it's kind of, yeah. As I said, they're starving people to make a point, yeah.
And the displaced people, is it mostly internally the displacement is taking place, or are they going into neighbouring countries?
Yeah, I mean, mostly internally, but I think in total, maybe 5-4 million people have fled the borders.
So apart from the various sides who are providing arms to the combatants, is there any power or any great interest at local or United Nations level to try and intercede and bring about a ceasefire?
Yeah, I mean, I think the UN has been kind of, it's been rendered powerless. And it's been used as an argument to sort of say the UN's kind of days are over, if you like. It's been unable to influence the war in any shape or form. There has been peace talks off and on, but both sides, both warring factions, no one wants to step away until they've kind of won the war, which is basically seizing the entire country, which could take, you know, years, decades, if ever.
Yeah. Is there, I mean, if Donald Trump turned his attention to this area, could he make a difference?
It's a good point. I mean, what Trump's sort of senior advisor in Africa has been, he's been agitating on the ground. And I think there are signs post-Gaza, post-ceasefire, you know, the Ukrainians. There are signs the US is keen to get involved and end this crisis. But, I mean, one of its kind of the main agitators is the Emirates, big Trump ally. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of pressure they put on.
Yeah. Mark, thanks very much for speaking with us today. And apologies for the phone line there. It was a little muddy, but hopefully you got the gist of it. That was Mark Townsend there, Senior Global Development Reporter with The Guardian.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.